I just want to pray for my little sister here. The first time I laid eyes on Shelly, I was at Asbury Seminary, and I walked into the Asbury College Hughes Auditorium, and they happened to have a student day where the students led the service, and this sophomore, this young little sophomore girl in college, was up preaching. She had this dress on, probably past her ankles, and she had hair probably down to all the way down her back, the straight hair, and she was preaching how the year before she had been in severe depression and even had been institutionalized because of her background, her life that she had grown up in, and the hardships she had faced, but how she had went to a Bible study where they asked her, "Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit?" And there at that Bible study, they laid hands on her and prayed for her. And that night, the love of God hit her, set her totally free, and she threw her medication in the garbage, never to be seen again. She began to preach how she had grown up in a holiness community where she was trying to run the race but had no power. It was like she was a marathon, actually a sprinter, with her arms tied and her feet tied together, and how the Holy Spirit in one moment had come and set her free. And I just remember the power as she shared the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all the professors in the back row going, "Who is that little girl? Who is that little girl?" I said, "I got to get to know her." And so I had the wonderful joy of being with Shelly and watching her walk out her passion for the Jesus and the testimony that God loves the weak. He sets them free and He puts His Spirit in men and women to see His kingdom increase all over the earth. I've watched her give preach and see hundreds of young people come to know the Lord. And so it's a pleasure tonight to get to introduce you, but to also pray for you. Shelly, I just got this psalm, and it's, "O Lord, You are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For You will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will You allow Your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in Your presence is fullness of joy, and at Your right hand are pleasures evermore." Father, in the name of Jesus, here is one of Your saints, and here in this room are all Your saints in whom is Your delight. They're the excellent ones. And so, Father, I ask You, in the name of Your Son, to bless my sister. Give her Your holy words. Lord, I ask, would You anoint her with the power of the Holy Spirit to give the very oracles of God. As she speaks, that she would be speaking the very word of God. Father, I ask You to anoint her, to baptize her with Your presence. And I ask that You would open our ears, open our hearts, Abba. Have Your way. Let Your word run swiftly and direct our hearts into the love of God. And into the patience of Christ. Father, here's the one You love. Here's one of Your favorites. Surround her and give her joy. And help her bear this burden even as she gives it. Give clarity and boldness. Clarity and boldness as she should. To declare Your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. I'm in a room with all of my family tonight, all of the family that I love is in this room, and I'm so thankful, although Alan Hood did graciously omit all of the stories of my issues. Appreciate that, Alan. And how I really took him through the ringer time after time because of the place that the Lord used him in my life to break in character, holiness, righteousness, transformation, and to understand what it is to have godly authority, godly mentorship from a big brother. And so Alan omitted graciously the times I screamed in his face, the times I refused to talk to you on some of those ministry trips, and many, many other things that the Lord will reward you for, as he will reward you for your silence just now. And so will I. I will satisfy you. It's really good to be here and to be here tonight with all of the ones that I love. And as most of you know who are, or at least a lot of you that are on our staff, who were here on Tuesday, I shared an encounter that I had with the Lord on Sunday night. And not only did I share that encounter, but I actually entered into a personal transformation myself on Tuesday. And so I am before you tonight as one who is trembling before the Lord. I have been changed. I've been gripped. And it's in me tonight to unpack what I know to be with all of my being the word of the Lord to us right now, and even concerning our nation, but really directed towards us as a people tonight. And it's in my heart to unpack that word and to proclaim the burden that, of the Lord that has come upon me, that the Lord has gripped me with, and that the Lord has, I believe, answered the cry of our hearts for him to be able to release his word to us right now in this hour and to speak to our hearts. And it's in me to declare this and to release it with all of my being. But I have to say that before I can even do that, I just need to say that I repent before this body. Even as the Lord gripped me on Tuesday, I proclaimed the word, the visitation that I had with the Lord Sunday night. And after proclaiming it, I was standing in my spiritual papa, Mike Bickle, was prophesying the word of the Lord to us. And as I stood there and asked the Lord, Holy Spirit, I've spoken what you spoke to me in the encounter. Now speak to me for this room right now and how to truly bring forth the burden of the Lord. And the Lord began to speak to me about closet forerunners. The Lord began to speak to me that there are people in that room and there are people in our staff who have known what time it is. They've heard, they have stood in the counsels of the Lord. Possibly it's only been a whisper, but even a whisper that breaks through ungodliness, wickedness, and darkness, perverseness of this generation. Even a whisper is enough that should cause us to stand as a people. And the Lord began to show me and speak to my heart, Shelley, there are people in this room who have known the hour. They understand, they have heard, they've been here for years, most of them. And they have heard time and time again the message of the hour of my judgment. They've given their lives to it, they've signed up for the vision, they've joined the staff, and they know in their hearts that they're the core leadership. But yet they have shrunk back from paying the cost of being fully gripped by this reality that they know is true. They shrink back from what their friends will say if they truly begin to cross that line and not just say that it was a good message that Mike Bickle preached, but if they cross that line with their entire lives saying, I know this to be true. I know this to be true. I know the hour that we're living in. I know the hour of judgment that is upon us. I know why I was created, and I'm rising up to the call. And as the Lord on Tuesday began to speak this to my heart related to people on our staff, as he finished describing this list related to these people, he spoke to my heart, and you're number one, Shelley. Right there in that moment, as I was standing before you, as I'm standing in front of the room, speaking from a supernatural visitation from the Lord, the Lord says to me, and Shelley, by the way, you're number one. And in that moment, I felt such terror in my being because I knew that I was standing there speaking a word And yet I have myself refused to live to the level of accountability of what I have known to be true. And a roar was released out of my spirit. A roar was released and a cry that has been locked up inside of my being. And I felt like I took a breath for the first time in my life. I felt like I finally responded accurately to what I know to be true, to what I know to be the word of the Lord. And I want to say to you, I come before you and I repent. I repent. I repent and I turn from all of the insecurities, all of the weakness, undue, unrelenting focus on my own weakness, and everything that has caused me to not live according to what I've heard. And I abhor it. I abhor the silence, and I abhor the compromise. And I just want to say that the sweetest relief came to me as I responded. And the burden of the Lord, although it burns within me, and although all of my being is trembling, it feels light. It feels light in responding. There's a joy in my heart tonight, even in speaking a hard word from the Lord. There's a joy that comes in repentance, in agreement with God, in rising up to what He's called us to be. And I'm feeling it. My physical frame is just resounding with an internal rest that I've truly never experienced in my life, that I experienced on Tuesday as I felt like I responded for the first time accurately, for the first time with wisdom, for the first time with wisdom, because it is wisdom for us to abandon ourselves completely to what Jesus Christ has spoken to us. There is no wisdom outside of it. There is no safety outside of it. There is no safety in compromise. And I realize that I have been told a lie by the enemy that has kept my mouth shut and that has kept me from crossing a line of abandonment to holiness and abandonment to obedience to the voice of the Lord. That I somehow felt like it was safer there. That I somehow felt like it was easier there. And I know with all of my being now that that is not true. And I'm filled with such joy and life inside of my being that I feel like I've come alive to take my place, to take my place before the Lord. So I just want to share that because as I release this word, I just want you to know that if you find yourself in that category that I have found myself in, it's a horrifying category to find yourself in. One who knows and one who has heard and yet has not walked it out. It has not been changed. But I want to just give a commercial advertisement for you that it just feels really good to be myself. It feels really good to turn. It feels really good to respond, to pull out of the lethargy and actually respond to what I've known to be true from the mouth of the Lord and from His whispers in my heart. So I'm resounding with that in my being right now. I want us to turn to Jeremiah 23. Holy Spirit, we ask You to come right now. And we ask You to release Your word to us as a people. Oh, Jesus, we love You. We love You in this house, and we love Your word. And we ask You, Father, would You give us tonight the kisses of His word? The tenderness of the bridegroom's heart, the fierceness of the heart of the judge. We just ask, Lord, just speak. Release Your word to us tonight. We love You. We set our hearts to understand. We set our hearts to be moved We ask you to come and breathe. Breathe upon your word tonight. Breathe upon your word. I come as a weak one tonight, Lord. But I ask for your fierceness to come. For your fierceness to grip me tonight. Let the word of the Lord come forth. And let us as a people feel like the most blessed people in the earth just because you've spoken to us. That you love us so much that you would tell us exactly what's required of us in this hour. That you love us so much that you would woo us, draw us, and we know that the empowering of the Holy Spirit to fulfill everything that you ask of us is contained in your word. We love your word. We love your word. We thank you, Lord. We do. We feel like the most blessed tonight in that you would speak to us. And we ask you, Lord, with your words, release strength, grace, and power to change. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jeremiah 23, I want to read through this because there are two passages that the Lord highlighted most strongly in the experience that I had with the Lord on Sunday night. I want to read through this passage and I would like to declare the word that the Lord spoke to me. And then I would like to preach the burden that's in my heart related to this word. There were three times in the midst of this encounter on Sunday night where I was homesick during the Bridegroom Prayer Watch last week when the Lord visited me. There were three times in the midst of it that I began to preach and cry out. There was an impartation that was deposited in my spirit. Even beyond what the words were that were spoken, there was a burden. There has been a burden and an impartation that I have been feeling the weight of upon my own life for this body right now. Jeremiah 23, starting with verse 9. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord, because of his holy words. And if we skip to verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. So I was in my room on Sunday night and I was praying for a friend who'd asked me to pray for them. And the presence of the Holy Spirit and the fear of the Lord began to come in the room. And as the presence of the Holy Spirit broke in upon me in my room, I was sick at the time. I was caught up in a vision and I saw myself on a boat. It was like a huge cruise liner type boat. I don't really know boat terminology, but it was a massive, massive boat. And this boat was in somewhat stormy waters, but it was heading in to the most massive storm that you could comprehend. It was like a hurricane plus, plus, plus. There was lightning coming out of it. There was the fierceness of this all-engulfing storm. In the vision that I was gripped with, when I looked at it, there was no question that certain destruction would await whoever entered into that storm. There was no possible way that you would avoid destruction if you headed into this storm. And in this vision, I was on this boat, and suddenly I leapt off of the boat. I started swimming in the stormy waters, and I was this tiny, tiny, weak little person, tiny, compared to this massive boat. But this spirit of labor, this spirit of intercession came on me in this vision, and I began trying to turn this boat around. I swam up to the front, I put my hands up on the front of the boat, and I began to scream and cry out, "Turn! Turn! 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 Turn!" And as I was in this vision crying out, it was a spirit of intercession that was coming on me related to our own house, related to the house of prayer, heading into a storm, and I began to just scream, "Turn! Turn! Turn! Turn!" And then immediately from that vision, I was released from the gripping of that vision, which is a closed vision that I had in my mind, but I was gripped by it. I was on the floor interceding, crying out. And in that moment, across the room, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord Jesus. It was not a dream. I saw Him standing across on the other side of the room. There was lightning coming from His face. His countenance, it was all light. It was terrifying light. Lightning was flashing from Him, and it felt like lightning bolts were striking into my being. I was knocked down onto the floor. And it was the fierceness of the Lord. I began to just eat the carpet. I couldn't get low enough. I began to scream and cry out. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I saw a white light of a sword coming out of His mouth. As lightning was coming from His eyes, from His face, He was a flame of fire. And in His hand, He had two massive torches that were burning red fire in front of Him as He stood there. And he spoke to me. And He said, "Give this to the people." And as I could barely look up, I saw that one torch was the fear of the Lord. The other torch was the first commandment, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart. And as He said, "Give this to the people," He took these two torches and He thrusted them into my being, and I began to cry out. I began to cry out and just scream at the top of my lungs. And He spoke again and said, "They seem a little foreign, don't they?" "Yes, like two foreigners in the land." And there was sarcasm in His tone, but it was unlike the unholy sarcasm that I have been guilty of using many times. It was sharp. It cut right to the core. I understood. I had no question about what He was talking about. These were two foreigners that I did not know. And as He thrust these into my being, I felt that. I felt that the fear of the Lord has been a foreigner to me. I felt that the love of God, the first commandment, has been a foreigner to me. Something that I have no conception for. It was like, this is a whole nother being that we are completely unaware of. It is completely unknown to us. I've never personally met these two people before, was the feeling of it. And it was the fierceness and the fire of the Lord being released. "They seem a little foreign, don't they?" "Yes, like two foreigners in the land." I began to cry out, I began to grieve and just sob as I was just gripped by the Lord, trying to understand with my mind how it could be that they could be as foreign as I was now understanding them to be. It was revelation. It was living understanding coming of how foreign the fear of the Lord is in our land, how foreign the first commandment is in our land, in our land of Kansas City, in our land of the house of prayer, in our land, in our nation, in our generation. The pure fear of the Lord, the pure first commandment, fully gripping us, fully being released in us. These are foreigners. We do not know these. And he continued to speak, and I knew from the moment that he said, give this to the people, that this every single line was a word to our house of prayer. He said, without these, you will be just like the rest. And I began to grieve again. A whole nother wave of grief came upon me. No, Lord. No, how could it be? How could it be, Lord? He said, without these, you will be just like the rest. It was certain. And I will turn my face against you. I will break down your walls. I will shatter the fruit of your labors. And then he looked at me and said, go ahead, be like the rest if you desire. And I began to cry out from on behalf of our house. And I began to say, Lord, that is not our desire. We desire you, O God. We desire to be changed by you, Lord Jesus. You are our desire. It is not our desire to be like the rest. And I just began to cry out, look upon our house with mercy. Look upon our house with mercy, O God. And he continued to speak. When will you realize with one heart and one mind that you are living in the land of my judgment? I have set my face against this nation and I will not relent. I changed the atmosphere on September 11th. Does anyone feel it? Does anyone perceive it? Behold, I set before you this day. I have made known my desire. Will you keep my word? Will I find you, house of prayer, burning with fire of faith, with the fire of love and trembling? I was taken back up into the turn vision again. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. The true voices will labor to turn the people, to change the direction. This is how I measure success in this hour. The verse straight from Jeremiah came to me. If they had stood in my counsel, had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from the evil of their doings. The countenance of Jesus changed, and I saw him now weeping with his arm outstretched to us. And he said, oh, come. Come to me, O weak ones. Come. I will gather you up. I will teach you. You deny my power to transform you by your undue, unrelenting focus on your weakness. Just come. Oh, come. Weak ones, little ones, I can make you just like me. You can be changed. Your wounds are not incurable. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Then the last cry that came out, stand and be numbered with the righteous. And it was like a shout of the Lord, and I saw our house of prayer and the Lord standing in front of us, and he was calling out to us, stand and be numbered with the righteous. Who in the midst of this people will stand? It's not enough to just have our names on the list, but who in the midst of this people will stand? Who in the midst of this people desire to be changed? I was left grieving. I was left grieving. And yet, at the same time, I felt his empowering. I felt him helping us to change. I felt his release. I want to unpack the word on some of these things that the Lord has spoken to us as a people. The two torches, the fear of the Lord and the first commandment. Deuteronomy 30 says, it's not too mysterious. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you would do it. Love the Lord your God. Walk in his way. Keep his commandments, statutes, and judgments that you may live. Love the Lord your God. Obey his voice that you may cling to him. I was struck with the simplicity of what the Lord requires from us. We make it so complicated so many times. And the Lord made it so clear to us. This is his grace to us as a corporate body even. This is the nature of the gospel, and this is the nature of the call of the Lord, is that it's simple. Love the Lord your God and fear Him only. One love and one fear. He made it absolutely clear, beloved. This is resounding in my spirit. The fear of the Lord and the first commandment. If He finds these, and I prophesy this to you as the word of the Lord with all that is within me, with every part of my being, this is the word of the Lord that I know to be true. This is the word of Jesus. This is the word of Jesus Christ to us right now. If He finds the fear of the Lord and the love of God in the midst of this people, then we have purchased a right to partner with Him in this hour. If He does not find the love of God and the fear of the Lord in the midst of us, we do not have a right to partner with Him in His judgments. We will be saved. We will be saved, but as by fire. We will stand before Him on that day, yes, redeemed, but we will not have the right to partner with Him in turning a people, in turning a nation, in turning all those that He's given us to turn. This is our inheritance. It's a battle for our inheritance. It's a battle for friendship with Jesus. Jesus is saying to us as a people, I want you with me. I'm the bridegroom judge. My heart is weeping right now over what I've released in your nation. Yet you are afraid even just to speak of it. You're afraid even to acknowledge the reality that I have set my face against this nation. To acknowledge the reality that September 11th, the atmosphere changed in this nation. To acknowledge the reality that you have been found wanting as a nation. That this is the hour of my judgments. That all of humanity is heading towards a storm right now. Beloved, it is His grace that He would bring us into reality about what is taking place in our nation right now. It is His grace that He would draw us into this. What He's looking for is nothing more than a response to the bridegroom, a response to the judge. He's longing for a people that will not just know with our minds that a message is true and sign on the dotted line, but that we will tremble. We will tremble at His word, and we will rejoice and kiss the Son. This is an hour to respond. This is an hour that demands a response. I have been guilty in my own life of thinking that I would succeed as a forerunner if I simply knew that the judgments were coming before they came. Somehow thinking that I would stand there on that day and have some kind of comfort within me because I knew, after all, that this was going to happen. Beloved, that is not enough. That is not what He has called us to. He has not called us to stand back at the rest of the body of Christ with a smirk on our faces because we know. Because after all, Mike Bickle has told us. Or the servants of the Lord have told us. It is not enough. This is a bridegroom judge. And His call to us is as friends, is as His bride. He longs to unveil the deepest things of His heart in this hour. He wants us near Him. I want you to hear that in the deepest place of your being. He wants us near Him, with Him. We are His people. We are His people. He demands a response. Oh, it will not be enough for us if we just knew, if we just had mathematical agreement with the prophets of the Lord or the anointed preachers and we put it off on them and we said enough that they say it's true and we sign up for it, so therefore we're a step ahead of the rest of the body of Christ. Therefore we know something that everyone else doesn't know. That's not what He's called us to, beloved. He has called us to turn. He has called us to take a plunge from the current that is taking the body of Christ in this nation into the judgments of the Lord. He has called us to turn, to repent, to turn back, to go against the flow, first in our personal lives, by trembling and loving Him, trembling before the judge, and loving the bridegroom with all that we are, lovesick, trembling. And then from that, to purchase the right to partner with Him in turning the body of Christ in this nation.
If they had stood in my counsels, they would have caused my people to hear my words, not the words out of their own hearts. They would have caused my people to hear my words, and they would have turned them. There's a mystery of friendship with God, friendship with the bridegroom judge, in which He allows us, weak and broken people, to be changed, to turn ourselves, and He gives us invitations into realms of responsibility and power to turn others, to turn a people. I want to stand before Him on that day, not just being one that knew the hour that we were in my mind, but one who responded with all of my being, and one who turned many. I am not satisfied for anything less than that. I've been ruined. The fear of the Lord and the first commandment, it is simple. It is simple what He's asking of us. Without these two, we will be just like the rest. Without these, you will be just like the rest, and I will turn my face against you, break down your walls, shatter the fruit of your labors. When will you realize with one heart and one mind that you're living in the land of my judgment? I have set my face against this nation, and I will not relent. What does this mean? How are we to unpack this? I was screaming into a tape recorder and writing furiously during this encounter with the Lord. And afterwards, this was Jesus speaking to me, so I expected Him to quote scripture. I got out my laptop and I started looking through the concordances. And beloved, I was weeping, undone. Four times He quoted Ezekiel 13 in this encounter. Let's turn to Ezekiel 13. This language, I will break down your walls, I will shatter the fruit of your labors. I thought to myself, Lord, I have given my lifeblood for this house of prayer to be established. Isn't the very thing that we pray for and ask for to build the walls, to set the watchmen on the walls? How can this be? And the Lord began to unpack this to me as I just found that He was quoting several times Ezekiel 13. Again, it is a perfect parallel passage to Jeremiah 23. I was never familiar with this passage before. It's a perfect parallel passage. The Lord is dealing with us as a corporate people. He's dealing with our prophetic calling. That the calling to be a forerunner movement is the calling to be a corporate prophet, as it were. That we are required to have the word of the Lord for the body of Christ. That is what we proclaim ourselves to be. That has been the call of the Lord upon us. We've signed up for that. And we have heard the word of the Lord corporately. But in this rebuke of the Lord, He's speaking to us specifically. He's speaking to those of us who have known the hour and have known the reality of His judgment, but have not responded with wholeheartedness, have not responded with the forgetting and casting aside of all insecurities and all weakness and all focus on self, which has brought madness to us. It brings madness to the issue when we just become so introverted that we don't allow ourselves to live out the reality of being gripped by the Lord, because we're so afraid of our own weakness. Or we're so afraid, or we feel like it's not our place. I'm only 25. I shouldn't step forth in this. Or this is for Mike. This is his mantle. This is his mandate. It's enough for him to preach it. That's what the Lord is speaking to us right now as a people, saying, no, that's not enough. I want an entire people who tremble at my word. I want an entire people who stand in the counsels of the Lord. Ezekiel 13, verse 5. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false division, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. Yet, they hope that their word would be confirmed. They don't speak the true word of the Lord that they know in the secret place is true. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision, and have you not spoken false divination? You say the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people. Skip down to verse 10. Because indeed they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace. And one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar. Say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstone, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger, and great hailstones in fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar and break it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall, and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Verse 16. That is, the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord. So this is a shocking passage that parallels exactly Jeremiah 23. And what the Lord is hitting at in this for us. How could it be that God would break down our own walls that we're constructing? And what I believe to be the word of the Lord and the understanding to that is that these are walls that are built up. They're walls even of the house of prayer that are built up with mortar that is false. Mortar that says peace, peace when there is no peace. We are building a house of prayer that is to be the walls that guard the people of God on the day of the Lord. That is our call. Verse 5, you have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. That's the accusation of the Lord. It comes to a people who try to build walls with peace, peace, because they will not pay the price of finding the gaps in the walls of the body of Christ and saying, no, that's not the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is that a storm is coming. A storm is even upon us now. The word of the Lord is that He has turned His face against this nation. The word of the Lord is that He has changed the atmosphere on September 11th. And we, His people, must perceive it. We shrink back from declaring and from understanding and responding to the word of the Lord. And we try to build walls that are made out of mortar that says peace, peace when there is no peace. The exact same accusation that is taking place in Jeremiah 23. Instead of standing in the counsels of the Lord, marking, perceiving, hearing His word, and causing the people to turn. There's a level of accountability upon us as a people, as a house. It's not safe in this house if you do not want to hear the counsels of the Lord and to stand before Him in His counsels and to mark and perceive His word. There's no comfort, there's no safety in this house outside of a people who will stand, no matter what the opinions of the day are, and stand before the Lord and hear the true word of the Lord. His face will come against us if we do not do so. Will we be saved? Will we be the beloved of the Lord? Will we be the bride? Will he be ravished over us in our intimacy with him? Yes. Absolutely yes. But we will stand before him on that day having fallen short of the grace because we did not turn and because we turned no one. Where is the turn in your life? Who around you is turning? That is all that matters. That is the word of the Lord right now. That is the definition of prophecy right now. Turn, 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 turn. That is the only prophecy that can be given when a storm of the Lord is on the precipice of natural history right now. When the storm of the Lord is even upon the precipice of our beloved America. Negative in the spirit if we say that the Lord has judged us as a people, that he has judged us as a people, that we are being judged by the Lord, and that judgment is standing at the door for America right now. We feel like it's not intercession if we say that. We feel like it's superstitiously safe to not say that. We feel like, well, we don't want to be negative. We're intercessors. We're crying out for revival. Beloved, I plead with you, the case of the Lord on this point, that the most negative thing is to disagree with the word of the Lord. The most negative thing is to not stand in the counsels of the Lord, to be found wanting, to be found lacking the fear of the Lord, to be found not responding to the judge, to be found not responding to the bridegroom, and to stand with a comfort because our leader's speaking something that other leaders aren't speaking. Oh, beloved, that makes it more dangerous for us. It makes it more dangerous that Mike Bickle's speaking things that other leaders aren't speaking. It makes it more dangerous that we're people, that the banner on our internet website speaks of us as a prayer and fasting people. That makes it more dangerous to us. That means step it up. Step it up. You're in the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, but I've placed around you the righteous ones who have stood, who've come away, who've come out of the wickedness, and who've said, I myself will fast and pray. And the strength that is being released in this people, because we're together, we're to be of one mind and one heart concerning the judgments of the Lord. I cannot plead it with any more emotion in me. Every part of my being is pleading with this house that I love. It's my house. It's my family. It's my fate. If the activity of the judge is against us, or if we are with the activity of the judge, if we are turning the people before him, or if on that day we are redeemed, but we're just barely saved, we barely hang on to our salvation at the end of the day, and we turn no one, we come to him empty-handed on that day, I tell you that I am the weakest, brokenest one in our house. Anyone who knows me knows that this is true. But with all of my being, I do not receive that. I will not take it. I will not take that as a statement over my life that I just somehow understood a little bit before the rest of them. But I had no impact because I was not willing to pay the price and to take up the call that was upon me. I pawned it off on someone else. Because of nationalistic pride, because of fear, because of unrelenting, undue focus on my own weakness that denies the power of a living God to change me. I will not. I will not. I'm weak. I am broken. But I for myself will turn. And I for myself will agree with the word of the Lord right now that says, IHOP, you have not yet turned. You have not yet turned. I'm requiring a response from you to the bridegroom, a response to the judge, a people who respond, a people who shake off the dust and arise in the midst of this darkness of a current that, although we do not perceive it, it daily takes us closer to the storm. We must turn. We must turn. The Lord is speaking to us as a people. Build your walls with true mortar, the true word of the Lord. If you shrink back from perceiving, if you shrink back from marking my word, You will turn no one. I want you with me, says the Lord. The Lord is speaking to us as a people. Yes, I am. I am fashioning destruction. The storm of the Lord, the anger of the Lord, it will not be turned back until He's performed and executed the thoughts of His heart. Friends of the bridegroom, the storm of the Lord is in front of you. I am the bridegroom. I am the bridegroom judge. I want you with me. I want you with me in my activities. You're with me in my heart. You're redeemed. You've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You're mine. You belong to me. But I want more than even you can imagine. I want you to rise to a place of friendship with me. I want you to be those that respond, those that tremble when the hour truly calls for trembling. Those who abandon themselves with love for a lovesick bridegroom. And those that turn. Those that themselves turn. And those that turn every person that He puts in their way. Friends of the bridegroom, my desire is that you would be with me in this. But you have not yet turned. You have not yet responded. There are mighty ones in your midst and they have not yet arisen. Rise. Turn.
I just want us all to pray. Just close your eyes, if you will. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Spirit, come and touch us. I'm going to have Misty come up to the piano. Holy Spirit, you can cry out in any way that you want. This is a crossroads word. This is a The Lord says, if you go this way, you'll enter into your destiny as a people. If you stay like you are, then you'll just be a good memory, a ministry that had a memory of gathering a bunch of people together to pray, but didn't ever touch God. Shelly's been here from day one. She helped start IHOP. She's been at all the meetings. She tells everybody the word that's coming and the messages. But the Lord says, you've not yet turned, Shelly. It's not enough to be in the room and to be caught up in the ministry and to be in the enthusiasm and go to the staff meetings. He said, Shelley, you've not yet turned. That's not turning. The fear of the Lord and wholehearted love for God is still an enemy to you. It's still a foreigner to you. You don't even know about these things. They're strangers in the whole nation. They're strangers at IHOP. You can respond any way you want. You can kneel down, come forward, stay in your chair. If you need to go up and walk around at the back, just maybe you pray better if you move around. Just whatever is best for you right now to respond to the Holy Spirit.
I want to pray over you. I want you to just stay connected with the Lord. And wherever you are, if you're kneeling, if you want to stand, I want to pray over the entire... I want to pray for us as a corporate people before... I want to give a call to the specific people who know that they've been called as forerunners. You know that the word that He spoke to me applies to you. And I want to give a call to those people in just a moment. But first I want everyone's spirits engaged, because the Lord said to me, give this to this people. So I want to ask the Lord to impart to us as a people the first commandment and the fear of the Lord. If you want to stand to receive from the Lord, you can right now. He's going to release this to all of us. And then there's a call to specific ones in this room, and you know who you are. Holy Spirit, come. Come, fear of the Lord. Let it come. Increase the fear of the Lord in our midst. Take the torches. Take the burning, the spirit of burning, and the fear of the Lord. Let it come. Impart it. Thrust it into this people right now. We're hungry for the fear of the Lord. This is wisdom in this hour, and we place ourselves as those who are in need of the fear of the Lord. Let it come. Let it enter into this room even now. Release the fear of the Lord. Release the fear of the Lord. Release the fear of the Lord. Release the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom.